Traders Point, how we doing? So good to be with you as we continue in our series, The Urgent Kingdom, going through the Gospel of... Hey, we're there, right? The Gospel of Mark. For those of you that are new, that is one of the kind of biographies of Jesus's life. It's filled with what he said and what he did. And kingdom language, maybe that's new to you, but he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, that it's breaking through. And maybe that kind of shatters your worldview, because to you, we're here on earth now, and then one day we're gonna be in heaven. But Jesus came with a very different message. He says, no, now that I'm here, heaven has invaded. The kingdom is anywhere where Jesus's way reigns and rules. It's upon us. I mean, this is a big part of our vision as a church. We're all about taking ground for the kingdom across Indy and beyond. And I just want to share with you a little bit what that looks like here at the church. I just got back from a trip in Seattle where, because of your generosity, we were able to plant a church in downtown Seattle. Tough soil. Hey, it gets better. Keep celebrating, all right? Only a year later, they've already broken over 1,000 in attendance. Hundreds of baptisms. The kingdom is breaking through. And I know a lot of times, even here among us, it's like every first Sunday, we get to see a few baptisms during the service we're at. But I just want to come and update you. Last weekend, here at Traders, we had 58 baptisms across all of our campuses. We celebrate all that God is doing. And today, we're still in the Gospel of Mark, but this is actually part two. And the title is The Kingdom in Word and Power. And what you'll notice as we begin to work through chapters four and beyond, Jesus is gonna begin to describe more of what the kingdom of God is like. But what you also begin to see is that not everyone responds in the same way. They don't hear it the same way. And maybe you've noticed that in your life. Maybe when you came to know Jesus, it was you and your best friend growing up, and you guys agreed on everything except for this. You fell in love with Jesus, and they never gave their heart to God. Or maybe for you, you're noticing this as a parent. You got two kids you've raised in the same house, bringing them to the same church under the same teachings. And one is falling in love with Jesus, but the other one, not so much. Maybe you experience it during a sermon and you're just looking and you're just thinking about, you're not even in the room really. You're somewhere else. You're like, I wonder what we're gonna have for lunch. And you look over and there's this person next to you just bawling. You're like, what am I missing? What we're gonna look at today is why that happens. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, go ahead and get to Mark chapter 4, verse 1, right? Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Let's set the scene. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. And he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. So let's pause on this for a second, okay? So it's a very large crowd. It's a diverse crowd. It's not everyone here is Team Jesus. Some have pure motives. Some are there for selfish reasons. Some are neutral. Some are there literally to kill Jesus. And he sees all of this and makes a little space by pushing back on the boat to get on the water. Creates a little bit of an amphitheater so that his voice can carry through the crowd. And you could hear a pin drop. And it says, Jesus begins to speak in a parable. Now, for us to begin to understand the kingdom in word and power, we have to understand what is a parable, because roughly 35% of all of Jesus' teachings through the Gospels come in the form of a parable. Now, a parable is just a word that means to come alongside or to cast alongside. But here's a working definition for all of us. A parable is when Jesus takes an ordinary part of life and places it alongside a spiritual truth so we can see what God's kingdom is like. A lot of times, this is what Jesus is gonna do. He says, I'm gonna use something that you do know to help you understand something that you don't know. A lot of times it's agricultural, like today it's gonna be with a farmer. Everyone had seen this over and over again. I'm gonna give you that, and then I'm gonna come alongside it with a spiritual truth so that you can begin to see what my kingdom is like. Growing up, maybe you experienced a different kind of parable. Your parent would give you a teaching, and then they would come alongside your backside with a different form, you know what I mean? To reinforce what they were saying. What Jesus is gonna do for a lot of what we see moving forward is he is going to speak in parables. And we're gonna read it right now in its entirety. And I'm gonna read all the way through it, and then we'll kind of dissect it, and Jesus is gonna break it down for us, all right? So let's start in verse 3. This is Jesus speaking. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with an underlying rock. Now the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Now other seed, it fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What? Understand what? What are you talking about, Jesus? Imagine. I always like try to put myself in this space. Imagine you're a part of the crowd and you brought everyone from your town with you. You went and you've seen this Jesus, and all you've been talking about is this Jesus, and then you heard he's right down the street, so you go get your friends. And you're like, no, this is the same one I was telling you about, the one that did the miracles. The guy was, yeah, he was paralyzed. Jesus told him to get up and he got up. He has these amazing, you want to see this Jesus, and then they bring Jesus in front of him. And he stands up and he says, a farmer went out to scatter some seed. I can just picture him looking like, this is the guy. This is the guy I had to see. Like, maybe this happens with you, but a lot of times I'll find a reel or a video or something, and I'll be sitting in the same room as my wife, and I'll send it to her because I want to watch her experience it like I experience it. But when it gets to the part where she's supposed to be laughing, she's not laughing. I'm like, oh no, I have messed this up. Like, that's some of the space that they are in as Jesus begins to talk. No one knows what he's talking about. Look at this. This is how we know. Verse 10. It says, later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around him, they asked him what the parables meant. They didn't even know. It wasn't just the crowds didn't understand. It was his closest followers didn't understand. But you know they were hyping up Jesus during the sermon. They were there on the side like, oh, this is so good, Rabbi. Preach. Just so many just cows in the room just, this is good. This is so good. And everyone around is like, you understand this? You know what he's saying? Of course, I get it. You're an outsider. This is new to you, but this is what I do. I am on team Jesus. And then the moment they get back, they're like, all right, we'll see you guys later. So Jesus, real quick, we're gonna have to go back out there and do this again tomorrow. What are you talking about? None of us, well, I did, but Peter didn't understand. So could you break it down for what exactly you were saying? And what he's gonna do now, he's actually gonna explain, not just this parable, but he's gonna explain why he uses parables in the first place. Look at this in verse 11. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Now, when we just read this on the surface, it can sound harsh, but I want you to remember the diverse crowd that is there. Everyone has different motives for why they're there. And their motives are gonna show whether they come away with anything or not. For those that were just there to see a miracle, to be entertained, they left empty. For those that were just there neutral because they were drugged by somebody else, they left unmoved. But for those that wanted to know, they were brought to a place where they got to understand the very kingdom of God. And the clue of why Jesus is doing this is in verse 9. So can we throw verse 9 back up here on the screen? Let's look at this. It says, then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You see, he says the difference between hearing and listening. And we all know that there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Just so we're all on the same page, let's look at this. Here's what it means to hear. To hear is the process, function, or power of perceiving sound. It makes me think of, you guys ever take one of those hearing tests in like school where they put the headphones on you and you're sitting there in this room real nervous and they're like, well, just raise your hand when you hear a beep. And you're like, all right. How did I do? They're like, you did great. You got all of them and 37 that weren't there. I'm like, it's because I got that dog in me. You didn't know I could pick up on, I can hear things you can't hear. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. Listen is actively paying attention to the words and sounds for the purpose of absorbing their meaning. Now, some that were there were just there to hear. Some were there were leaned in to listen. And I would say it's safe to say in this room, across all of our campus, it's a diverse crowd that is here today. And I would ask you in the most loving way, why are you here? Are you here just because someone brought you? Are you here just in a neutral place? What I would encourage you to do is the same thing Jesus was doing with this original crowd, is not just to hear, but to listen, to absorb what he's saying, to take it in with the understanding that there's something that I need to do with this living word from Jesus. Sound good?
Amen.
All right. So let's take a look at this in verse 13. It says, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? In short, this is a parable about why he uses parables. This parable is also about what the kingdom of God is really like. And we've already said this. He's telling this story because he knows one thing that is true about humanity is that we are horrible listeners. Some of you are leaned over right now asking, what did he just say? The first thing that we need to see is that the kingdom of God is like a seed. If you're taking notes, I would write that down. The kingdom of God is like a seed. And this is very different. That original audience, they would have known what it meant for a kingdom to come. They were ready for a king to come out and conquer. And what they got was a farmer who came out to scatter some seeds. Different, both powerful. It's just going to look different. And if I'm expecting one thing, I'm going to miss what Jesus came to do. It reminds me of Fred the Tree. Anybody know about Fred the Tree? Yep. Nope. It's fine. I'm going to tell you all about it. So my family went on vacation to the Florida Keys, and we discovered something that the locals call Fred the Tree. Fred the Tree is literally growing out of this bridge, the 7-mile bridge. No one knows how Fred got there. A seed was dropped from a bird or something, and this thing began to grow through the bridge. They say maybe 30, 35 years it's been growing. But here's the wild thing. If you remember this, about 2017, Hurricane Irma made landfall in the Keys. We're talking 132-mile-an-hour winds came through that place, busted up everything. When people came out, the last thing that they expected to see was old Fred. But Fred is still standing, even after all of that. Church, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Amen. A seed that found a way to grow, even when the conditions looked impossible. Still standing, no matter the storm. That is what the kingdom is, and that's what Jesus came to bring. He says it's like a seed. Now, it's easy to look back now, but it had to be hard. In those early days of the church, those first followers of Jesus, when the Roman Empire was trying to destroy everything, they had to wonder, is this really going to happen? They were reminded, this is a seed. I mean, I even think about our church. You know, sometimes people ask, like, Pastor Aaron, did he start the church? And I mean, listen, Pastor Aaron is old. But he's not that old, all right? This church, Traders Point, started in 1834. I think Pastor Aaron was born in the spring of 35, right? So it's fine. He'll be fine. But you got to think about this small little community, this trading post between here and out west and here in Chicago. They hear the gospel, they respond, and they rebuild a church. Just a few people showing up week in and week out, but a seed is planted. And they would have never got to see the fruit of their obedience. But looking now, If they could know that 192 years later, this one small church would now turn into churches and campuses all throughout the city, that now over 14,000 people are gathering under the name of Jesus because of the seed that they planted. Think about that, those early settlers. Maybe they could do baptisms a few times a year because it was just a small group of people, and they'd go out to the creek and they would baptize someone. Just seeds were being planted and coming up. And now through that obedience, how could they ever know that almost 200 years later, in 1 year's time, we would baptize over 2,000 people? Amen. But it was a seed that was planted. And I think I'm here today that somebody needs to hear this, that God is real, that he has done a real work in your life, and you're growing impatient because it's not happening as big or as fast as you want it to. And I believe I'm here to tell you that, remember, the kingdom of God is like a seed. Don't grow impatient. Remain faithful. Trust that what God is doing under the surface will one day sprout through. That keep sowing that seed, and one day a harvest will come. Does anybody believe that today? Our God is faithful, and the kingdom of God is like a seed. And now what he's going to do, he's not going to leave us hanging. In verse 14, he's actually going to explain the parable for all of us, okay? So pick up with us in verse 14. It says, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns, well, that represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So once again, no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil, that represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much of what is planted. This is the word of the Lord. What Jesus is unpacking here is he goes line by line. He says, this is exactly what I mean. So let's get some particulars. What did he describe to us? Well, now that we know, the farmer is God. He's the one that is scattering the seed. And what is the seed? It is the word of God. And what's the soil? It's not just some farm out there. It is the hearts of humanity. It is our hearts, me and you. And the parable, if you remember, begins with a challenge from Jesus. Don't just hear, but lean in and listen. When Jesus would have gave these words for the first time with this parable, the hope is that everyone would pause and ponder about the soil in their heart. So as we unpack this, as we go soil by soil, this is the question, if you're taking notes, that I want you to have in your mind. What is the soil of my heart? What is the soil of my heart in this season, right? There are four soils. Let's look at them. Four soils of the heart. It's the footpath, it's the rocky soil, it's the thorns, and it's good soil. Every heart in every room today is made up of one of these soils. And hear me this, this is not a death sentence. This is about awareness, so that we know how do we treat the soils of our hearts so that it can become good soil. Sound good? So let's just go through this one by one. What's the footpath? Well, the footpath represents a hardened heart. The footpath represents a hardened heart. It represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. And I want us to hold on to that. There's a real enemy whose whole goal in life is to keep you from receiving the seed of the kingdom. Amen. It's not just you and God playing catch and him throwing some stuff. There is someone trying to get in the way and intercept everything that God is doing, because he knows once the seed goes under and is planted and begins to grow roots, there is nothing that he can do. But there is a real enemy that's trying to keep you from not only hearing, but listening to the voice of God. So what I would ask you today is, what's preventing you from hearing God's voice? If you have that hardened heart, what's keeping you? I would say it's usually one of two things. The first one, I don't want to know. You may be here today, but you're not here because you want to be here. You're here because it's a family thing. You're here because she was pretty cute kind of a thing. You're here because it's something to do or you've always done it, but you're not really listening. And if you're being honest, you don't want to know. You don't want to know what Jesus says. You don't want to know what he has for your life because you like being in control of your life. And the idea of submitting everything to anything or anyone else sounds like a horrible idea. You don't want to know. Or I'd say the other place, which is just as dangerous. I already know. I already know what God is about. I already know what the church is about. Heck, I already even know what this parable is about. Mark chapter 4, yep, I've heard it. God doesn't have anything for me. I already got it. If that's you, this is what you need to do. You need to plow up the hard ground of your heart so that God's seed can be planted. Hosea, who is a prophet, a mouthpiece for God, he spoke on God's behalf to his people, had a very similar message that I think applies to us. Hosea said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. How do we do that? It's not go clean yourself up. It's not work harder. How do we till up the soils of our hearts? Here it is. We plow the hard ground of our hearts by seeking the Lord and staying curious about what he wants to say about every part of our lives. Amen. We move from I don't want to know to I want to know. We move from I already know to I believe there is more to know. One of the ways we say it around here is every time we show up, no matter what we show up to do, whether it's at work during the week, whether it's serving, whether it's in a room like this when we're worshiping, we're saying, hey, I'm going to come ready. I'm coming ready. I'm showing up. I'm leaning in. I believe the word of God is living and active. I believe my God is alive and on the move. And I believe if I lean in, I'm going to catch a glimpse. I believe that if I'm here and I'm present, I'm going to have an encounter with the living God that can change everything. That even if my circumstances don't change, me being with him is going to give me everything I need. Anybody here believe that today? Amen. Just want to come ready. See if that begins to change the soil of your heart. You begin to lean in. Not try harder, but get closer. Abide in him. That's the first soil. The second soil, it's this rocky soil, and it represents a shallow faith, right? The soil, it represented those that they did hear it, and they immediately receive it with joy, like a rocket. They just hit. They're all about it. Big smiles on their faces. All joy. But since they don't have deep roots, it doesn't last long. They fall away as soon as they leave, as soon as they get confronted with the world and the everyday grind, they stop. They feel themselves pull away. And if that's you, here's maybe what that looks like. Maybe you had a mountaintop moment. You had an encounter with the living God. Maybe it was a spontaneous baptism. Maybe it was a men's night, a women's night. Maybe it was a summer camp. And nobody could tell you anything. You met God on that mountaintop. But as you begin to live, it feels like you're moving further and further away instead of getting closer and closer. But here's the thing, you can't live on that mountaintop. The Lord wants to take you where your roots can grow deep. You don't just have, you have to have the soil needed to support the growth that God wants to do in and through you. Some of us want the fruit of the Spirit without the roots. And what God is calling you today is saying, get closer to me. Not to just have a shallow faith, but have a deep faith. Roots need to grow. That's why we literally offer something called rooted. We really do. Something to help people grow deep in their roots. And if you're here for the first time, you're like, there's no way. You're up there just talking about roots and you have a thing called rooted. We do. And over 5,000 people have went through it. And here's what it is. It is a 10-week small group experience where it's just designed to help you connect with God, the church, and your purpose. That you become deeply rooted to know and to do all the things that God has for you. Signups are open now. You can scan this QR code. Our next one is starting in May. I'm telling you, if that's you, if you feel that drift, if you're being honest, like I'm not as rooted as I want to be, I don't feel like I have the purpose of what he has for me, this is the best place to start. Now, the third one, if you remember, this was the thorns. And the thorns, they represent a divided faith. The parable says that the seed, it's planted, but where it fell was among the thorns. And as it tries to grow, it gets crowded out by everything else that's going on around it. And maybe this is you. Like, you came and you believed the gospel, but it's just one of the many things that you're believing in. You're kind of hedging your bets. You're believing in the kingdom of God. You want that seed to grow and to come up, but you're also scattering some other seeds of self-sufficiency. God's seed isn't growing quite enough, so you're beginning to plant all these other things. Well, how do I know? What do those thorns look like? The ones that can crowd out the gospel. He gives us three here. He says there's the thorn of worry, money, and desires. And all of these things together cannot grow. And they're not even necessarily bad things all the time. They're only bad because they're gonna choke out what God and God alone can do. Can I tell you why I think so many people come to faith at rock bottom? It's because everything else they've planted has died. Most of us, we were given a description of what it looks like to have a good and healthy life. What does it look like to be secure? And we went after those things. We planted those seeds and we watered those seeds. And then a storm came, life came, we realized that thing isn't standing anymore. And so we came through the doors of a church, we had a moment with God, we prayed a prayer, and God wants to do something that is real, something that only He and He alone can do, but everything else has to be cleared. So what I wanna ask you is what worries, what desires, or pursuits are crowding out your trust in God? And if you're taking notes, I would just jot them down. What are the things that the Spirit of God is already bringing to the top? What are the worries? What are the desires? What are these pursuits that you have that, if you're being honest, are keeping you from all that God has for you? They don't have to be bad, but if they're choking out what God wants to do, then they need to be removed. And hear me, the answer is not just to hate these things. The answer is to fall madly in love with Jesus, to listen and to believe that the gospel really is as good as it says it is. Amen. The truth is, worries are real. Before you follow Jesus and after. There's so much of this world you can't see, so much of tomorrow that you don't know what is going to happen. But here's what changes. You can't see what's coming, but now you know that there is one who sees you. You can't see into tomorrow, but you do know that there is a God who sees today, tomorrow, and every day after. And that gives you a comfort. And four people are excited about that. I have a God who sees me. So now I don't have to worry. I can trust Him that He will take it over. And money is still real. But here's the place that I've come to with the truth of the gospel is there's something that's more real. Money promises to provide security and freedom, but it's so fragile. But what if there is something that truly can produce the freedom and security that I've been searching for? And what if it's only found in Jesus? And my desires aren't completely wrong, but they're just disordered. But what if when I begin to follow Jesus, everything falls into place? And I come to realize that the desires aren't bad, but there's a hole in my heart, a God-shaped hole that only He can fulfill. And so instead of planting and watering all these other things and pretending like I have all these priorities, I'm gonna say, Jesus is my priority. And we slowly begin to see the thorns of this world get broken by the gospel. You see, the third soil, the seed could grow. That wasn't the problem, it was the problem. Everything else could grow. And because of that, it never gets to produce. It never gets to mature. It never gets to have the fruit that it was designed to have. And that's the difference. If you notice the difference between what happens in the good soil and every other soil is that the good soil produces. And supernaturally. Like for farmers back then, a good kind of ratio earning would be 1 to 10. But Jesus doesn't use numbers like that. He says, no, it'll return a fold of 30, 60, 100. That is what Jesus wants to do in your life. What does that good soil look like? Well, here's the way I would say it. When God's word takes root, character changes, obedience grows, and the kingdom multiplies. When God's word takes root, character changes, obedience grows, and the kingdom multiplies. That seed, which goes into your hearts, before it shows up externally, he begins to do a work in your heart. When you listen and you believe the gospel, he begins to transform you from inside out. You literally become like Fred the tree. Improbable, unexplainable, only by the grace of God. You begin to live in such a way that you have a character that doesn't match your circumstances. People are watching you. You are living a literal sermon. They're like, how are you going through that storm? How are you experiencing that kind of hate and offering forgiveness? And over again, you get to point to the grace of God. It is only by Jesus Christ. That's the good soil. The good soil, it yields what? It yields fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. How do I know that it's taking root in my heart, that I'm showing up and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out? I'm talking love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That he's making room and we're getting to see the fruit and we're seeing the power. The power of God is coming through us. The kingdom of God is here and he's using you to do things you never thought you could have done before. You are conquering things that you never thought you could have conquered before. You are telling people about Jesus and you used to be the one making fun of people talking about Jesus. That's one of the markers, that the seed would multiply, that as you get going and the love of God begins to overflow, you live out of that overflow, that you can't help but tell everyone everywhere about all that Jesus has done, and the gospel stays on your lips and you become not just a recipient of the seed, you begin to scatter and spread the word of God as well. Amen. That's what it looks like to have good soil on your heart. And maybe you're there, but like I said, it's just taking longer than you thought. And you're wondering, how long do I have to wait? I want some of that fruit. Can I tell you, it'll probably take longer and be harder than you think it should. But you are on God's timetable, not yours. Amen. And you could grow something quick, but what he's trying to grow can be sustained and will never die. How long do I have to wait? Until you see a harvest, until you see fruit. And I'm telling you, I'm leading a Rooted group right now, and I got a bunch of guys in their 30s mostly. And we just finished up week 10. So 10 weeks, 2 hours a night, it's 20 hours we've been with these guys. And that's not including all the devotional time, prayer time. And so as we were closing out, I just said, hey guys, as you look back, 10 weeks now, can you see how God is moving in your lives and in your heart? And one by one, we went around the circle and they said things. And they thought they were small things, but to me, I'm like, these are the big things. They were like, I can see my integrity is changing. I'm becoming a different person. And others would say, I can tell that I'm present in the moment. I'm not so worried about what's going to happen, but I can really be there for my family. Others were talking about, I'm beginning to pray more. And it's like, I'm walking with God throughout the day. And I'm saying, I can see it. And maybe the people around you can see it too. Do not grow impatient. The work that God is doing, the seed has been planted. Give it time to mature. Give it time for that fruit to begin to grow. And if you're here today, I just want to double down on this. No matter where your heart is, it can be softened. No matter what you've been through, no matter how much you think this is not for you or you've done too much, I just want you to know there's a God that sees you, knows you, and wants you. And for all of us, this isn't a one and done type of a thing. It's us monitoring the soil of our hearts. We all have different places in our hearts that maybe are a little bit hardened or shallow, right? So the question I would put before you is this: where is my heart hardened? Where is it shallow? Or where is it divided? The way I begin to think about it this week as I was studying is like, my heart, what I'm about to do is I'm trying to say, how can all of it be farmable to the things of God? How can the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit alone take up residence over my heart? Like this process of following Jesus, discipleship, sanctification, really what it is me giving little bits, little parts of my heart, zoning it exclusively to the things of God. That I keep giving more and more of my heart, and I notice spaces that I thought I'd given him all, but then I'd give more and more and more of him until it's Christ alone. Like that's the process that we are on, and we all have parts that are divided, shallow, are hardened. This is the active part. The seed is going to be given. He is very generous with the seed, but it's on me and you to guard it. This is a partnership. There's a book, Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom literature. And look at the way they talk about the importance of the heart. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If you've never received the gospel, or maybe you've heard it, but you never really listened to it, this is for you. The best way to guard your heart in your life, to determine where you're going, is to give your heart to God. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts. Think about this parable. And for some of us, that when you begin to think about the word of God, it is the seed. But there's another part in scripture that it tells us what the word of God is as well. And it's the gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14. Look at what it says. It says, and the word became human. The word of God became human. The word of God became Jesus and made his home among us. I tell you, this story really comes to life when you realize that Jesus himself is the seed, the Son of God, that was scattered for all of us. Knowing that some of it would fall on thorns, knowing some of it would fall on the hard places, but he was willing to give his life for me and you. That Jesus would leave heaven, live the perfect life that me and you couldn't live. He did have the softened heart, the good soil. He listened, he heard everything from God, and he was faithful. And with all of that, he went to a cross for me and you to pay the debt, to make the sacrifice, to defeat sin and death once and for all. And I want you to think about this. The devil thought he had him. As he was being nailed to that cross and then thrown into an empty grave, the devil thought he was bending down to snatch the seed before it ever got a chance to grow. But what we know is 3 days later, Jesus would resurrect. 3 days later, Jesus would determine that all of us now have a chance at eternity with our Heavenly Father. He couldn't see it. He didn't know that the kingdom of God was like a seed and Jesus was being planted. He didn't know that Jesus was just the first in a harvest of many. And that harvest is still growing today. You want to understand the gospel? It's this, that God is madly in love with you. That his death wouldn't be forever, and through that death, it would extend life to everyone who hears and listens. Everyone who listens and believes and places their faith in him, it is available to you. Seek him, offer your hearts to him. I want us to close by reading James chapter 1, verse 21. These words were true then, they're true today. James said, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. This is a call of repentance. This is a call to say, whatever you've planted before, don't wait for it to die. Now you can hand it over. You can move from a place of saying, God, I don't want this to grow. I don't want to water this. I want to do something new. I want your kingdom to come inside of me. I want you to birth something new in my heart. I want to confess that you are Lord and Savior. I believe that you defeated sin, death, and the grave. And I want you to be Lord over every aspect of my life. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to enter into a time of prayer. And we're going to trust that God's word is still active, that he is still speaking. And I want to encourage you to listen to what he says and to respond accordingly, okay? So at all of our campuses, close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray this with us. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that even if it's painful, it cuts through and it shows us what we didn't even know was there. God, I pray for everyone here today whose hearts have been hardened, that they've never not heard or listened to your gospel. They never received how good it is. It's never had a chance to be planted. I pray today is that prayer. If that's you, pray. Jesus, I believe in your gospel. I believe in your kingdom. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you lived a perfect life. I believe you went to a cross for me. I believe you defeated sin, death, and the grave. I believe you are welcoming me into your family. I believe in you and I ask, I confess that you're not just Savior. I want to make you Lord over my life. I want to entrust you with all of my heart. Ask for it. And for all of us, I pray that we could look at our hearts and know that there's more of him that needs to take ground in our hearts. So God, search us. Find the parts that are hardened. Find the parts that are shallow. Find the parts that are thorny. And God, I pray that we would hand them over to you and you would do something new. We give you the landscapes of our hearts. We trust you to guard them. And God, right now I pray for our whole church that we would become that good soil, that your spirit would fall, the seed would go, and it would reap a harvest. That we're coming up on 200 years and we believe you are far from done. So God, I pray that your spirit empowers us. God, you do a work inside of us. Our character changes. Our obedience grows. We hear your word and we respond accordingly. That God, we go from here and there is no storm that could stop us, no scheme of the devil, no power of hell, and your word would go forward. God, I pray for the day. I look out and I believe. I ask for your kingdom to come. God, for you to take ground across Indy and beyond. God, I pray for you to knock down the gates of hell. God, I pray that everything has been planted would be removed and only the seed of your gospel would remain standing. Jesus, we ask all of this in your perfect name. And everyone said, amen.